we have on the phone U.S. Senator Al Franken. Good morning, Senator.
Good morning, Jay.
Well, how are you today? Is there a breakfast there today or what?
Yes, we're having our Wednesday Minnesota breakfast, Manomin porridge. It's wild rice porridge with some hazelnuts and maple syrup. And
you don't ever change that menu, do you?
Well, we have other stuff. We have fruit for people who don't like the Manomin porridge, which, okay, by the way, it's very few and far between.
Okay.
We have fruit and other things.
Well, let's get off the porridge and on to the fact that you just came back from Afghanistan. You and Senator Levin met with President Karzai, generals, mm-hmm, and some American service members. And what did you see that works, and what are you skeptical of?
Well, I saw some things to be optimistic about. You know, General McChrystal is our commander there, and we met with him quite extensively. He first thing he said to us is that this is Afghanistan is largely a measure of perception and momentum. You know, people in Afghanistan really want to live their lives, the vast majority of people, and want to be safe and want things that are good for their family. And if they feel the momentum is swinging toward the Taliban, they're going to be reluctant to work with us. A few months ago, McChrystal said that the situation was dire and deteriorating. And when we got there, he said that the perception is the momentum is changing. And there were some actually good metrics on that. There was a new ABC, BBC, German media outlet poll that said that 70% of Afghans feel optimistic about the way things are going now and feel that they'll be better off a year from now than they are today. Over 60% favored the adding of 30,000 troops. So I think that there's been a change in direction, and largely because of this new policy. The Afghan military and the Afghan army are very key to this. The president said, we are going to, you know, pulse these 30,000 troops, but after that, in July 2011, we're going to start to draw down. He didn't say at what pace, but we're going to start to draw down. And once he made that speech, recruitment for the Afghan military and the Afghan police just spiked. And I think part of that was the Afghan government felt, you know, a fire under their tushes, and that they are, and that's what Bill Caldwell, General Bill Caldwell, who's training the Afghan military and the Afghan police, are what he said. And I went down to Kandahar and I saw Afghan troops embedded with coalition troops. I went to a forward operating base, a small one where it was really an outpost, and Afghan troops and Canadian troops were living together and working together very well. They have to know this is their war. That's the message we're sending to them, that we will support them. But at a certain point, they have to take this over. And I feel confident that, more confident, that this is the direction we seem to be going. Yeah.
Now, you also, I understand, asked Majority Leader Harry Reid to include cost containment measures in the new health care overhaul bill. What kind of measures did you mean by that?
Well, I got a number of them in, actually. Two in particular. One that I think is quite big, which is something called the medical loss ratio. And the medical loss ratio basically is the percentage of healthcare premiums that an insurance company puts toward actual healthcare. Now, in Minnesota, we have primarily 90% of our health insurance is provided by nonprofits. And in Minnesota, I think we have the highest medical loss ratio, which is 91%, which means that 91% of premium dollars that go to insurance companies actually go to healthcare, not to administrative fees, not to profits, not to CEO salaries, not to marketing. I put in a piece of an amendment that requires that all over the country, that medical loss ratios for large group insurance not be below 85%. And that, I think, is a huge cost containment policy. And also, I added something that we have in Minnesota, which is a standardized uniform billing information or billing forms from health insurance companies. So, and we've been doing this in Minnesota now for the last year, and it's going to save about $60 million a year just in Minnesota. And this is very simple. It says insurance companies have a habit of each sending in their own form, each one more complicated than the other. And actually, that's deliberate, so people can misfill them out, and the insurance company can delay paying you, and they make money on the float. Or sometimes people give up and they just say, oh, what the heck, I'll just eat the $200 or something. So, and this will save doctors' times and nurses' time. This is a really win-win type of thing. There's other kinds of things that I put in that an ounce of prevention is worth a pound of cure. That's hard for the Congressional Budget Office to score, but one thing I did, for example, and there's a lot of these in the bill, is a pilot program that has worked in Minnesota and in Indiana. And by the way, Senator Lugar of Indiana, a Republican, co-sponsored this amendment with me, would bring nationwide a pilot program that takes pre-diabetics, gives them a diet, and gives them a membership to a gym, and reduces by 60%. Against a control group, the number who go from being pre-diabetic to diabetic. It's going to save a tremendous amount of money and a tremendous amount of suffering. There's all kinds of things. And finally, and this is huge for Minnesota, there's something called the Value Index, which Senator Cantwell of Washington put in the finance bill, but that Senator Klobuchar was champion, and I was, which basically is going to change the way Medicare reimbursements work to reward high-quality, low-cost states like Minnesota, who we've been punished for doing this well. States like Texas, 50% more per Medicare patient costs, worse outcomes, and yet they get reimbursed more. And what this is going to do is not just going to help Minnesota, which it will, but it's going to incentivize high-quality, low-cost care, high-value, not volume, high-quality, not quantity, and that is going to bend the cost curve down.
Let's switch to Haiti for a moment. You've been asking the Senate leadership to include emergency disaster relief in the first piece of legislation that comes up. Now, what's ahead with that?
Well, this is just devastating. We now are hearing that maybe 200,000 folks have been killed, and this is I've been to Haiti. It's an incredibly poor country. These are beautiful people, lovely people, and we have a moral obligation to help them, and hopefully we can rebuild better, and maybe this will be an opportunity to establish better governance there. But we do need to help these people.
Do you see an increased role of this country in Haiti with that rebuilding that appears?
I think we do. I think we need the help of the international community as well.
Well, before I let you go, I would be remiss in not asking you for any comments about the Massachusetts special election and how you think that's going to play out.
Well, we don't know yet. We're going to be meeting today at our lunch caucus, our weekly lunch caucus, and I'm sure that will be a large topic of discussion. I think our intention is to continue to go along with health care. We're going to talk about how we're going to do that. I think we're going to talk about some of the lessons we need to learn from this election and some of the ones that maybe we... we don't want to learn the wrong lessons either. So we're going to take a real long, hard look at this and see, you know, what we may be doing wrong, and in terms of both in our policy, how we're doing things, and our messaging.
Do you think this is going to slow down the healthcare recovery?
It might slow it down a little bit, yes. And I think we're going to have to relook about how we approach it now. We obviously don't have the 60 votes in the Senate, so that's going to have a tremendous impact. You know, with 60 votes, you have a very, you have a kind of a blessing and a burden. The blessing is that you can pass something. You can override a filibuster. The burden is that you every one of the 60 members has a veto. And, you know, I've been trying to help Minnesota through this health care bill in a lot of different ways. I'll get one other example. On Medicaid, in the next 10 years, we will actually save $618 million. That's what's projected through the CBO in Medicare payments, because we already pay, for example, poor or low-income single adults without children. Other Medicaid state plans don't pay that. But federal funds are available for this. So where we've been paying for this previously, now the federal government will be paying for it.
Well, U.S. Senator Al Franken, thanks for joining us this morning. We'll let you go to your breakfast, and we'll talk to you again soon.
Yeah, we're having our Wednesday breakfast, our Wednesday Minnesota breakfast. All constituents who are in Minnesota, even if you're listening in Wisconsin and you'd like to come and please do. We serve Manoman porridge. It's a wild rice porridge, and with nuts and fruit. And if you're allergic to nuts, you can. I mean, it's dried berries. It's not fruit. Okay. Well, that's fruit. But anyway, and then we also have fruit. And we have other fruit.
Real fruit.
And we have some kind of bread or something.
So are you going to do your Voyageur piece with me again?
Like, though it is a Voyageur recipe. I guess I can't remember who I've actually done the whole Voyageur thing. The Voyageurs, they this is their recipe. They had it's maple syrup. It is wild rice. It's nuts and berries. And we add a little bit of cream to make it more heart unhappy.
Well, Senator, you're making me hungry, so I'll let you go.
It's actually delicious. Okay. And we're here at 8:30 to 9:30 Eastern Time at the Heart Building, 320.
Okay, sir. Thank you very much for joining us this morning.
On Wednesdays, yeah.
Okay.
Okay, thanks.